Jim, Matt, and Molly. No, Molly. We're presented by Coors Light. The mountains are blue. You know what to do.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
We are thrilled that Jason Wilde was willing to flex his schedule a little bit because we were out at Ruska Steakhouse in Middleton, and it was an adventure. We were on the air. We were told that it sounded like we were all doing a show from a shower together. That was not the case. And instead, we were at Ruth's Chris, but we did not have our normal remote equipment. We broadcast it over a laptop and streamed. So we thought we'd save Wilde the indignity of, can you hear me now? And the awkward pauses as we wait for the delay to catch up. So we thought we'd just bring Jason Wilde on Friday. But that allows us to get all excited about the Packers' great performance in the inter-squad scrimmage or whatever we call it, Jason.
Joint
is that right?
Practices. That
the team joint practices. The teams, the Packers look good this time, so they're back, right?
They did have a good day, and certainly better than they had the last time. So that was those were encouraging developments, but they still have. I'm still not convinced that their offense is where they would like it to be, so we'll have to wait and see what happens 2 weeks from today, I guess.
All right, so that part, speaking of 2 weeks from today or a little bit further out, I want to know, as I kind of Googled this, and I want to have this thought that, is it, you know, is there a chance that the Packers backup quarterback's not on the roster? Like, could there be a good backup that's cut and the Packers say, you know what, the season's too important to roll out, you know, Clifford the Big Red Dog quarterback, and Pratt's not ready. Maybe we should put a guy in there just in case Jordan Love gets hurt. Same thing with the kicker. But instead, I want to ask this part first. Is who is on the chopping block that might surprise some people, in your opinion, for the roster?
That's a good one.
Here's the thing. Like, we were talking about this, actually, with Domofsky this morning on our show, Wilde and Tausch, weekdays 9 to noon. Across ESPN Wisconsin,
Matt's favorite show.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't emanate from Corvallis, Oregon, or Oxford, Mississippi. So that makes it
sounds like we know what your favorite show is.
So look, I don't know if there's a lot of types of guys that are going to fit the surprise category. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if, I guess A.J. Dillon is the one that there was reason to kind of wonder if maybe he was in peril. But now, as I look at the way kind of his, first of all, now he's got an injury issue, so that factors in. Secondly, Marshawn Lloyd, who we thought might be, as a rookie third-round pick, a guy who would take his roster spot. If they chose to say only keep three backs on the 53-man roster, now that AJ Dillon's dealing with this stinger, I don't know what that means. They might put him on IR. They might, they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with him and how long he's going to be sidelined. So that's a name that maybe I went into camp thinking, okay, that could be the surprise cut by the end of camp. Now I don't think he's probably in that category. So again, I don't know at what point he's going to be healthy and what his role will be, but because of where they're at running back wise, I don't think he'll be the surprise move. And other than that, like, there's really very few guys that even qualify. Like, when they had a veteran team, there was a bevy of possibilities where you were like, well, if they decide to go young here, this guy didn't have that strong of a camp. But I just obviously they are surprises for a reason because you don't expect them. But there aren't any obvious potential surprises, if it's possible to be an obvious potential surprise.
Jason, we kind of had a little bit of an argument that...
Argument.
Not argument. It was gentlemanly.
Our disagreements.
It was gentlemanly. It was basically the Packers drafted Jordan Morgan to play tackle. Yes, ideally, in a perfect world. Was that the case?
I mean, they drafted him. They drafted him because he had played tackle.
Okay. Well, now he's playing guard, right? Well
right,
he's injured.
Right, but now he's not really playing anything.
Right.
Yeah. He's doing individual drills, but he's not playing guard in games and not in 11-on-11 periods. That's for sure.
Right. I was arguing that's like, it's his rookie year. Like, you can develop into a guard. It's not, you're not like pigeonholed into one position. Jim's like, yeah.
Well,
you actually are.
No.
Here's
what I said
from the inside out.
The knock on him was that a lot of teams didn't view him as a guy that could be on the outside. And I thought of Kyle Long and Tevin Jenkins with the Bears, both guys who had that same scouting report that they couldn't be outside. And they were fine right tackles, but they were Pro Bowl guards. So they ended up just being inside and staying inside, and it was fine. And I think that could be the path for Morgan, and it's not the end of the world. If he ends up as a – they thought maybe he's left tackle, he ends up a right guard, and he's starter for 5 years, that's a win regardless.
I just don't like Jim typecasting people, so I wanted to say no.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about this. Am I right or is Jim right?
I think they still view him as someone who can be a tackle just because a guy has short arms and might be more adept at guard spot because of that doesn't mean that they can't play it. I mean, you know, the worst example, of course, is Joe Thomas, who technically had short arms for the position. He seemed to overcome that okay. Brian Bulaga certainly did. David Bakhtiari. Bulaga, it was definitely a narrative coming out of Iowa. I'm sure if he'd have stayed, you know, if it's Clifton that gets hurt instead of Tauscher during the 2010 season, I'm pretty sure Brian Bulaga would have been a good left tackle in the NFL too. I don't think his arms were a factor. So in Jordan Morgan's case, definitely shorter arms, less than ideal. But I think the real thing is you know, this is what Adam Stenovich, the offensive coordinator, who's a former line coach, said, and that is we wanted to find a place where he could compete for the starting job as a rookie, and we decided that was at right guard with Sean Ryan, which I thought said more about what they thought about Rashid Walker than what they thought about Jordan Morgan.
First, kudos to you, because I read that quote, and Rob Domofsky was kind of talking about Jordan Morgan. We kind of got into it because ESPN put out basically how is every draft pick doing on each team, and that quote was read, and you basically quoted the back verbatim, so impressive. But it made me think of Rob's use of the word. He said that Edgerrin Cooper, his quest to be a starting linebacker has been derailed. And I thought that was such a bold word to talk about someone trying to win a starting job. What do you think about that? I mean, I like it. It was just a hell of a turn of phrase. Quest to win the job makes it sound so much more dramatic.
It is. I like it.
Me too.
I'm kind of a fan of it. Yeah, he's a wordsmith. There's no denying that. Look, I think there's been a couple of, you know, I know Rob did his, you know, where he took a look at all 11 of the draft picks. And, you know, if you look at where they kind of are, the top group is, I mean, I don't want to call them disappointing because that's a gross mischaracterization, mm-hmm. because who the hell knows if they're going to be any good. But, you know, you go down the, let's go through the first five rounds, okay? And this is not, again, this is not a judgment on what they will be when they grow up. It's what they are right now. Jordan Morgan, shoulder injury, may not be ready for opening day. If you made me guess, they're going to start Sean Ryan because he's gotten all this work in. Now, is 2 weeks enough to get Jordan Morgan ready to play to start at right guard? A position he had never played until he got to training camp. Maybe, but I think it's more likely that Sean Ryan gets the start. So Jordan Morgan not in the starting lineup on opening day. Edgerrin Cooper and Tyron Hopper, who were second and third round picks, both linebackers, both had injury issues, both had veteran players who had better camps. I don't think either one of those guys is going to start on opening day. Javon Bullard, the safety from Georgia, he will be the starter. But Evan Williams, the fourth round pick from Oregon, who's also a safety, has had a really good camp, and I think they'll find a way to get him on the field. So those two safeties, as of now, are the guys most likely to contribute right away in Brazil. Marshawn Lloyd, I think, is going to start on injured reserve now. Had a hip injury at the start of camp, now has a hamstring injury. I think it's they have no choice but to IR him. Jacob Monk will probably be their eighth or ninth offensive lineman, probably won't be active on game day. And Ketan Oladapo, who was their other safety that they drafted, in the fifth round out of Corvallis, the home of Oregon State. You know, he had toe surgery in the offseason. He's going to get a ton of reps tomorrow in the game, I'll guarantee you that. But he's probably going to be a special teams guy for now. He was never in the really the competition for the starting job opposite of Xavier McKinney. So, again, none of these – I want to be clear because I know there are some people that listen to our show who think that I hate Goody. That, this is not an indictment of that draft class. It is simply a statement of fact that as of now, very few of them beyond Bullard and Williams are going to be ready to have an impact right from the start.
Jason, I have a question for you, and it's more because you covered Aaron Rodgers, and I'm watching Hard Knocks. I have no experience rooting for what seems like an incredibly confident, likable, but also and somehow very talented quarterback. And it's freaking me out because, like, Caleb Williams in Hard Knocks, he's talking to Kerry Joseph, their quarterback coach, and he's like, what does it feel like? You know, you're nervous for the first game? And he goes, I don't get nervous. I haven't been nervous since my first high school game. And then he's on with the Barstool folks, and he said, I'm going to paint my nails before every game because it locks me in, and I know that it can bother some people. Like, he's incredibly confident in himself. And it reminds me of a young Aaron Rodgers and the idea of that level of being confident. He hasn't. Aaron maybe later on became more arrogant than confident. But did Brett have that? Is that a common trait? Is there something on the intangible side of things with quarterbacks where they have this sort of like, there's no way I'm going to fail mentality? Because Mitch didn't have that. Justin didn't have that. I don't know about Cutler, but those two guys always seemed shaky. And Caleb, for this part, doesn't seem to have that.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't. And I love the fact that the ancillary benefit of painting his nails is that it drives some people crazy.
Yep.
and that he would intentionally do that because of it. It increases his motivation to do that. I respect the hell out of him.
Yeah.
For that, because look, does he come off as a little bit different personality? He does. He does. So does Aaron Rodgers, by the way. Mm-hmm. And you know, people who, and I'm not going to say that Aaron Rodgers is a genius in the Albert Einstein sense of the word.
Oxford sense of the word?
Only the one in England.
Yeah.
Or the dictionary. He's obviously a savant when it comes to his memory of plays. Mm-hmm. His memory of maybe conversations before the radio show was on. About certain things that were being discussed maybe is a little bit foggy, but his memory for plays or his ability to have a Rolodex of ideas for plays, like the pass to Jared Cook in Dallas that he basically drew up in the dirt based on something they'd done in training camp, and here it was in the divisional playoffs. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that he is a genius. And I look at Caleb Williams, and I think there's a chance he's like that too. And those types of human beings that have such brilliance in whatever area it may be, whether it's music or oratory or football or whatever, sometimes they can be a little unique personalities. And so, again, he will be judged on, is he good and do they win? And I'll say this. If you're a Chicago sports fan and he leads your team to the playoffs and then the Bears build up and by, you know, 2027, they're playing in a Super Bowl and you still care about the fact that he paints his nails, that is a you problem. That is definitely not a Caleb Williams problem.
Oh, for sure.
Well said. I have a question for you. I have two questions. One of them is for the fans.
Why do you always... Can I ask you a question at this point in your radio career?
No.
Why do you always have to announce that you have questions?
Because oftentimes I don't.
It's a verbal take. Appearance.
Yeah.
Sorry. I honestly, I'm not a professional yet. I'm getting better, but that's something I need to work on.
Are we paying you?
So I appreciate you like pointing it out for me.
We're paying you to do radio, right? Like we pay you to do radio?
Two quarters an hour. Well, so honestly, here's Jason's little insight. He doesn't necessarily love his radio media. Like it's a complicated hat for him to wear. Mm-hmm. I feel like Tauscher struggles with that sometimes too. So Matt sometimes likes the other media members, and then sometimes likes to be a part of the media.
Yeah.
So exactly. I definitely
am familiar with that approach.
Yes.
Yeah, I've worked with somebody who does that for sure. It's just strange because of course you're here. Of course you have questions for me. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, and honestly,
go ahead.
I appreciate the feedback. Thank you very much, Jason. I'm going to go home and cry about this later.
So Matt, I've got a question for you. No, I'm just kidding. What's your question?
Go ahead. So for the fans, who do you think the best Packer is going to be? And just like we kind of think it's going to be Jordan Love. Most
the best
people do.
Packer.
Player on this season.
Tomorrow
this
or
season.
For the season?
Season.
Okay.
Like, we think it's going to be Jordan Love, but can we go outside the box a little bit here?
We
and by box,
can.
I mean the pocket.
I'll pick somebody other than Jordan Love. I'll pick Xavier McKinney. I think this defense is designed with him to be, I'm going to say this just in case Tauscher's listening, which I don't think he is.
Ouch.
It's designed for him to be like a, not a shot at you.
I know, I'm just messing.
It's designed for him to be like the field tilting player that Charles Woodson was. And he's been killing me for this comparison. But I'm not saying that he's going to play at that level by any means, because Charles Woodson is a Hall of Famer, and that's a lot to say for a guy who is going into his fifth season, and that the team that drafted him really made minimal effort to retain his services. But the effect he's had on the other people that play his position, the secondary, I mean, it would appear that he has been an incredible influence on Jair Alexander, who does appear to have changed his tune significantly from kind of the way he'd been carrying himself last year, obviously, when he pointed himself game captain and called the coin toss and all that other stuff. So I think, if he has 7 interceptions and this defense plays at an elite level, even if Jordan Love has a good/very good season, I think there's a chance that someone like Xavier McKinney would deserve to be called the best player on the team this year.
I love that answer. And that was a question for the fans. The question that
I love that question.
I really want to know, and we asked everybody to chime in on it and didn't get a ton of situations. Jim today had someone flip him the bird, and we asked, when was the last time you had somebody flip you the bird? And I'm very curious what Jason could have done to get someone so upset.
Yeah, it was somebody in traffic several months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Although I'm not a finger gesture guy, but we did have a thing where Paula and the girls and Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, who is one of Sydney's godfathers, we were all in a car together. I was driving and I was turning left from, in like an intersection, and I'm in the intersection partially waiting to my turn to turn left before the light changes. The light changes. And a guy, one of these guys in the big pickup truck, you can guess kind of some of the bumper stickers that he might have.
I think this is who cut Molly off the other day. She was describing a similar truck.
Guns don't kill people, I kill people.
he runs the red to turn right. And so I just give him the, like, flailing arms up in the air, like Aaron Rodgers would give you if you ran the wrong route.
Right.
Come
right.
on, what
this
are you
guy
doing?
Ran the wrong route.
Yeah.
He did. And he then tries to slam. He slams on his brakes repeatedly, trying to get me to rear-end it. And so I'm like, "What is this guy's deal?" So I go around. I go into the left lane to pass him. Then, and we get. He pulls up on the right of us. So Charles is in the passenger seat, and Charles is a big dude. Like the pen is mightier than the sword, but I also would not want to mess with Charles if I was this guy, as long as he didn't have a weapon. And he starts MFing me and Charles, and we're like, dude, we got like kids in the car. Like, what is your deal, man? And so he's the last one that I had a situation with. But yes, I've gotten the finger once or twice over the years. I think I'm a pretty reasonable driver. Like I do, if the speed limit's 70, I do 78.
Okay, yeah.
And if someone wants to go more than that, I am over in the right lane more often than not. But if, like, there's someone going 72 or 68 in the right lane, and you want to go 85, I'm not going to speed up to 85 because you're on my ass to get past the guy going 72. I'm not going to get a speeding ticket for you.
Right.
So on occasion, maybe somebody has given me the finger on their way by because they wanted to go 85. Most of them were from Illinois.
Weird.
Well, yeah, that's, you want to use your favorite acronym or not?
Fibs?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
It's also used to be a really good restaurant or a food cart in Madison, but not around anymore.
Yeah.
I miss it. Jason, thank you so much.
I hope I don't run into you on the
guys.
Road.
Take care. Be good.
It's Jason Wilde joining us on a Friday at 5:43. That is a legend. Team player.
Thank you.
We're going to go pole dancing. Sans Molly Brown next.
Jim and Molly. Tune in on YouTube.
Presented by Coors Light.
Hey, this is Hannibal Buress. You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly on 100.5 ESPN, playing smooth jams right after sports. Y'all still playing the smooth jams, right?